Okay, is everybody back? Okay, so before we get started on the topic for today, I wanted to ask if there are any announcements.
This is Roberta in Kentucky. Things are starting to heat up here with next generation science standards, especially after a state senator published a big op-ed saying that they include troubling assumptions about climate change. Our Kentucky state science teachers listserv has had more traffic since that article was published last week in the middle of the week than it's had in the last 10 years.
Really?
And wow. There are people jumping ship and quitting the listserv, and it's just the whole debate. And I've been out of town. I've been reading it. I have not weighed in yet. I kind of wanted to see where people were headed. You know, a lot of people think it's a political discussion that has no place on a science teacher's listserv, and other people are more in alignment with the kinds of things that we talk about on this group. So it's I hope it's not a sign of things to come as far as you know, potential roadblock for adoption, but Mark McCaffrey contacted me and let me know that the hearing about whether to adopt them or not is on June 5th, so I'm trying to get a little bit more information about that and maybe try and rally a few educators to show up at that meeting.
Well, good luck.
Yeah.
and then I'll go to, you know, on the other side of the coin, I sent out an email last week. It came from, it was originated on the listserv for the Council of State Science Supervisors. And it was written by the state science supervisor from Oklahoma, who identified all of the pieces of technology and science education and knowledge that helped she and her son be safe during the tornado. I mean, it was just amazing.
Well,
so I've had people ask me if they can use it in similar situations to the one you're in, Roberta, in sort of pointing out how science education can really help people.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, I'm still formulating my response, but I think that's a very good approach.
Yeah.
Is not to just, you know, play up the whole climate change thing, but to look at it as a whole,
yeah,
how important NGSS is for the approach of teaching and the value of,
mm-hmm,
of the whole big picture. So
yeah.
Tamara, this is Jim Bray. AMS just adopted a statement last week, the end of last week, entitled Climate Science is Core to Science Education. And it very, very specifically addresses this NGSS challenge by states like Kentucky and Colorado. This new statement is available on the AMS website, and I'll forward a copy to you, Tamara, and you can send it around anywhere you want.
Okay, great. What is the name of it again, the statement?
It's called Climate Science is Core to Science Education, a policy statement of the American Meteorological Society adopted by the AMS Executive Committee 23rd May 2013.
Great.
Great, thank you.
It's
thank
pretty you. Strong. You'll like it.
Good.
Great. Has there been any other conversation about the standards being addressed or running into roadblocks around the country that anybody on the phone has been involved with? Okay. I don't know. Are there any other announcements? Okay. Well. In the middle, I can just let you know that I have a project called Earth Labs Climate, in which we're running workshops, week-long workshop in Texas, second week of June, and followed by a week-long workshop in Mississippi. on using the Earth Labs modules, which are focused around climate change. So, and I think there'll be a follow-up workshop in Texas the same week that I'm in Mississippi. There'll be another, a second one in Texas, because we had so many teachers who were interested in participating. They're going to run another workshop. Okay, if there are no more announcements, we will get on with our conversation for today. And I just want to set a little context here, because we really do have two communities. We have the Clean Network community, and we've been having this series of social media teleconferences in this month. We had one last week and then 3 weeks ago around using social media. And the intent was to use today's session to use the information we've gained through those conversations the past few weeks in developing a strategy for clean to use social media. On the other hand, we have this group of people that have been part of the Clean Pathway Project, which has mainly been focused on the development of the online collection that you all know about at this point. And we are trying to marry and integrate the Clean Network into the portal with the Clean Collection. And then there's also some professional development efforts and some pedagogical support pages we have around teaching climate and energy that are there. So, and around the collection and those pedagogical support pages on teaching climate and energy, we have had an effort going on to make it more broadly known. We do have a Facebook page, and it will be that Facebook page that we'll be talking about using and expanding the use of further. But I just wanted to let you know that there are these two groups of people here, and a lot of them overlap. Frank Niepold is part of this of both groups, and so has Mark McCaffrey been part of both groups. All of our roles have changed over time. Anyway, I just wanted to make sure everybody understood that there was a lot of interest here. And everybody is ultimately most interested in getting this effort to move forward. So, I guess I'll stop there and ask if there are any questions. Okay, so if not, then we'll move on with our conversation for today. And we have basically three agenda items that will move one into the other. The first one on messages, the second on the goals, and the platforms, and then the platforms to use. And Martha Shaw, who's been a part of our teleconferences for quite a while, has been a real advocate for this effort and provided the sample strategy for a clean social media campaign, which is also on the teleconference page. And if you're not aware of this, it's just if you what you're looking at, it says show sample strategy for clean social media campaign. You click on that, and then the rest of the strategy pops down there. So it's just in a drop-down box. This wouldn't take up too much room on the page before anybody was looking at it. So some of us have been part of this conversation as we plan this session, and the other people that have been part of that conversation is Ellen Klicka and Maureen Moses from the American Meteorological Society, and they did their presentation last week on the organizational use of social media. And Emily Kelleher, who gave the from Ceres at the University of Colorado Boulder, and she gave the presentation the first week on personal use of social media. And they've been part of the conversations that we've had in preparing for today. But I'm going to turn it over to Martha to get this conversation going now.
Hi, it's Martha Shaw, and we were hoping this will be an interactive session because we are looking for input from the group. And we talked about, after going over various social media techniques in the last few sessions, then how would we apply this to clean? So we started with a strategy that it would be great to get buy-in or revisions to this strategy from the group, and then we could move ahead and start to execute. And so in the sample strategy, we talked a lot about, well, what's Clean's real objective? And what we concluded in our last series of meetings is the objective of CLEAN is to increase the usage of the resources, to put them into service. And I think I would stop right there and ask if people would agree to that. Sounds like.
Are there any other thoughts about, is that what everybody sees? I mean, I know the CLEAN Pathway team, that's been their main goal all along, is to get the resources used.
This is Scott. I'm curious whether we want to have kind of a broader statement, as essentially is why did we do the review of those resources, the whole idea of improving the quality of educational resources that are available to teachers. And is that, do we want to get into that part of it, or is it really just sort of the marketing of the result of you know, the 3-4 years that we've worked on them?
I think improving the quality of the resources would be a good idea in terms of a mission statement, and it would be very appropriate to start out a strategy with a mission statement.
Okay.
Another framing of this is Sean that might sort of get at the same thing is that we're trying to improve the teaching of,
yes,
of the subject matter, especially insofar as it goes towards addressing illiteracy. So not only do we want people using these activities, these resources, because we think because we've selected them, they'll lead to good outcomes, but we want them to be using them well.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And we might also imagine CLEAN, broadly speaking, supporting good teaching toward climate literacy, even in the absence of someone using a particular resource that's in the collection.
Okay, so we want to, I'm just going to try to capture this here. So I'm going to be editing this page. You won't be able to see it, but I just want to capture that. So, so Sean, can you say that succinctly that I can put it in here?
Sure. CLEAN is interested in promoting excellence in education around climate and energy literacy. And getting people to use these reviewed resources is one way we would do that, under the assumption if they use these resources and the resources are good, then they'll teach effectively about them.
Mm-hmm.
But another way, we have the section of site in teaching climate and energy science that in theory might aid someone in their teaching, even if they don't choose to use one of the select set of resources.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think so. This is the strategy for the social media campaign,
mm-hmm,
not the strategy for CLEAN. I think there's a little bit of a difference. The strategy for the campaign, you know, we needed to narrow down what we would hope to come out of the campaign and what our benchmarks for success would be. We'd increase the usage of CLEAN's resources.
Right. I guess the challenge I see with that is that given that CLEAN's resources, as far as the collection itself, are none of them are actually on the CLEAN site, we could see a 15,000,000% use of all those resources, and the only way we'd be able to tell is to ask the people who are actually holding those resources if they've seen additional traffic. I mean, the usage of those resources could go up in the absence of anybody visiting the CLEAN website.
Yeah.
Right. If we promote a given activity through our Facebook page, and people go and visit that activity, and it's not on the CLEAN site, and they use it, there's some challenges in telling whether the use of the activities or the resources is happening.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think that CLEAN's mission in a social media campaign, the first mission would be to increase the usage of the CLEAN's resources. We also had... as we go down further, I think start out with a mission statement, but we feel as though if we were to, you know, let's keep moving through. I think you have a really good point. And the second, we say, how do we plan to do this? And the way we plan to do it, we set ourselves a benchmark, because benchmarks are motivating, that we would increase the community listserv from 400 now to 1,000, and in 2013 we said by December. We would hope that this campaign would increase the expand the size of the community, and to encourage that community to take greater advantage of the clean resources and increase the level of engagement with clean for this particular campaign.
Yeah, I think that all falls into the sort of thing I was thinking of. I guess the particular thing I had in mind is we have this set of pages about energy and climate and energy science, which aren't part of the collection per se, but presumably they would be things that we might talk about in the listserv, which we're trying to get people to subscribe to, and which might end up influence this sort of end goal for clean of
right.
increasing the quality of education. Separate
we
from,
can promote them on the Facebook page also.
Right.
I guess
if we construe the word resources broadly to not mean just the reviewed collection, but to mean the reviewed collection and the other things that are on the clean site that might also help promote better teaching.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
I think that would capture everything that I was thinking.
I agree.
And then just to add to that too, we're talking about clean now in terms of the whole network, correct? Or are we just talking about the clean collection? Because now that we are clean, we're not CLN.
Right. So the clean network is incorporated into the clean portal. So we're encouraging people to engage in the portal, and the collection's a part of the portal. The pedagogical support pages, the teaching about climate and energy pages that Sean was referring to is part of that portal. We also have a partner site, so people that we've organizations that we've partnered with appear in that portal, as does the Clean Network appears in that portal.
Mm-hmm.
Great. So those are all part of the resources when
exactly.
we're saying
yeah.
increase usage. Because I would say this right here is a resource right now, this Tuesday call.
Right, absolutely. In fact, one of the things that I would like to do, because now we have so many recorded presentations, is to enable them to be sorted in the same kind of way that the reviewed resources, obviously not in the same list, and the tagging would be different, the way you would search them, but it would be worthwhile, because now I have to tell people, well, the only way to find it is you have to remember the date of the presentation,
yep.
mm-hmm.
and then go search
yep.
for it, because everything's
exactly.
in chronological order.
No, that would be awesome. That would be really useful.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's not, you know,
yeah.
it's that huge a list. If there's maybe 50, but it would be great to have that in a database and be able to search for it. Just great material there.
No, I think we have, I think that after today we will have something like on the order of 58 presentations.
Okay, good.
Well, it sounds
I know
like
Camel's done a lot more with that sort of sorting. They might have some suggestions with just presentations. On their site.
I see. Oh,
yeah.
What, Camel?
The Camel site has done a lot more with what you're talking
mm-hmm.
about there, just as far as tagging and sorting presentations for people to use.
Well, it sounds like simultaneous to a social media campaign would be a mission statement, and then of Clean itself, and then defining the resource, Clean's resources, because
yeah.
that is a fairly generic term,
yeah.
and also making sure the resources are user-friendly.
Yeah.
Might mean increasing the user-friendliness of the resources. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, but I don't. But that's a separate kind of. I think that's what you were saying. That's a separate activity.
Yeah. But
I mean, and a lot of the things we point to are not on the website. But anyway, why don't we just sort of continue our conversation about the social media?
I think the success of the social media campaign could be partially dependent on the usability of the resources.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So we are agreeing that we would like to expand the community, the listserv, and we would like to make sure that all of these resources, as we define them, people are taking advantage of them and increase the level of engagement. we talked about, then we get down to the message, and the message would be, you know, after going through lots of different messages, and this isn't written in a clever kind of tagline way, was that clean is the only comprehensive resource digest or library for climate literacy materials. Would people agree with that? I mean, stand out from the crowd. What is our position in the market? What is the brand?
We have the only, I mean, in terms of the reviewed collection, we have the only comprehensive review of educational resources. Then, as Sean mentioned, there's a lot of other kinds of things on the site that are very useful.
This is Val Sloan speaking. One of the things that strikes me as the most unique that should be promoted is the peer review aspect. I know it was mentioned earlier about the quality, but it's something that's really unique. And, you know, given how many resources there are online, I think, and how many don't pass the clean review process, it seems like that's a really unique and wonderful selling point that should be included, you know, the words peer-reviewed or vetted.
Oh, excuse me. This is Mary Jo Lieber, and I'm new to the group, but it seems to me, aren't there other resources like My NASA Data and NASA Wavelengths that are well-reviewed? Is that really a unique feature?
It's different. My NASA Data isn't explicitly or uniquely climate related. Not to say that it's not related to climate issues, but the way, and I can talk to you offline about the actual process that we go through to review a resource, but the first cut to even get into the review process is that it either addresses climate literacy essential principles or the energy literacy principles. And some of the things that aren't in the collection didn't say that they're not good. It just maybe that it doesn't make that cut. And the other aspect that I should point out is that we reviewed individual resources, meaning learning activities, visualizations, and videos. We do not review websites or literature, and so there are we don't have those kind, and we don't have units and module. We don't have full curricula. We have individual activities in the collection. We piloted reviewing units and modules, something that's bigger than an individual activity, and there's very specific definitions for those things that I won't get into now either. So there are those kinds of things that are not in the collection, and so we do have partnerships with the NASA, and with and with NOAA. There's other groups that are on our partner page in which some of their resources are in our collection and some of their resources aren't. Did that help?
Not really, but I'm willing to talk to you offline if you're standing by that what you're doing is unique, but I don't see how it is. But I'd like to talk to you about it later.
Okay. I'd be happy to do that.
This is Kristen again. I just wanted to once again go back to, if we're talking about increasing the uses of CLEAN's resources and those being more than just the literacy material, the climate literacy materials, our curriculum, it being this network call, professional development opportunities that get recognized on the site, et cetera, whatever those are, that once again, not focusing just on the materials, but on, for the single most important thing, you know, I guess, Tamara, I mean, what were some of the things that came out of that survey about why people are a part of this network, too? Might be...
Right, okay,
to,
yeah.
You know, like, join a network, you know, if folks in the country are involved in climate change education, then they should be, if they can, involved with these calls every week because it will enrich what they're doing. So,
well, I will tell you, I mean, so as you might imagine, with this 400 people on the listserv, and usually between 15 and 20 people on the calls each week, there's a large number of people that aren't on the calls. But one of the things that even people who don't call in ever, like 92% of them read the listserv.
So, yeah, or the enriching material or joining conversations via the listserv, you know, that's great, yeah.
Well, maybe we should rewrite that line. I think you're right that it isn't just about the materials, and that's not necessarily why people are going to engage. So maybe we could rewrite that line together because it's important to know what the audience, we want the audience takeaway to be as we move forward with a social media campaign.
Okay.
So it could be, you know, we talked about, you know, clean is the, you know, the watering hole for climate literacy information. We talked about the best resource for climate literacy, resource and engagement. You know, should we take a crack at some other lines that are just a single, it needs to be a single thought for this, because we can do
I think that it might be more worth, more time effective, because we're already at 1:30, that a smaller group of us might take a crack at, given the conversation here, at writing a more concise statement. In the meantime, we can continue to move on here and get the broader input about the rest of the aspects of this.
Okay. So how do you substantiate that? And, you know, because the Clean Collection has over 500 rigorously reviewed educational resources on climate and energy, and you're right, this is focusing on the materials, but remember, we can do another social media campaign as well. This is the one media campaign where the objective is to increase the usage of the resources. It's not, it can be a series of campaigns. But so how to substantiate that, we listed the 500 rigorously reviewed educational resources, and then it's a network of over 400 climate education professionals and leaders and over 60 professional societies who contribute in vet materials. So you are right, this is very material-centric, but that's what we decided the social media campaign, as we go out and do the first social media campaign, that would be the objective. And I believe that objectives have to be fairly narrow for you to even benchmark your success. So we talked about the target audience being science educators, and then we talked about the broader, the secondary audience, and we listed you know, it got very broad. We could add some, right now would be a good idea maybe to add some people to the audience, because the audience is important, because as we go out and we start tweeting and reaching out and emailing, we want to make sure that we're reaching the audiences that are important. So here we have educators, scientists, professional societies, curriculum developers, economists, urban planners, social media specialists, which is a little too generic, I think. Technologists is maybe too generic. Park rangers, policymakers, writers, journalists, thought leaders, and editors. Anybody have any other ideas about that?
This is Sarah May from the Monterey Bay Aquarium. I just want to add 2 cents, and it's just my own thought. When I hear science educators, I really think of formal science education, but a lot of us using CLEAN are in the informal science education world. So I don't know if that's something that's a big enough deal to say both formal and informal science educators is your number one target audience, but I just wanted to put that out there.
Yeah, usually I can just say historically, usually when we use the word science educators by itself, we mean both informal and formal. In the CLEAN Network survey that got sent out, it was actually broken out formal education K-12, formal education higher ed, and informal education. We called them out all separately. So we're certainly addressing all of them.
This is Sean. I have another sort of spin on these two groups. I often see it as the CLEAN sort of has almost two audiences. One is the people who are on this call and are on that listserv with the 400 people whose job titles may span that broad list, but who have a deep interest in climate literacy, climate education, and the issues surrounding it. And they're the people who want to be on these sorts of calls. And there's another slightly overlapping, possibly much larger audience, which is people who are the science educators, but who are biology teachers or something, or science teachers who are looking, for whom climate literacy is a very, very tiny part of what they do, but for those 2 weeks, they're looking for something good for their course. And we would hope they would find the reviewed collection and read about the literacies and incorporate that in curriculum. And I think it's worth thinking about whether these aren't actually two almost separate audiences with different interests, and that the folks on this call and sort of the traditional CLN folks who have this deep interest in it would probably also be interested in the reviewed collection at some level or another, but that there is a separate audience, potentially much larger, who are the people who are doing sort of either formal or informal education, for whom climate energy are a tiny part of what they do, but we hope they're using the reviewed collection in order to get sort of a
boost. They would be part of the science educator audience.
Right, but I'm wondering, it's not that, I don't think calling the science educator audience the primary audience makes sense to me, but then calling the other one a wider audience, I think the actual numbers of people who want to be engaged with sort of the deep thinking about climate literacy is probably a smaller number of people than the number of teachers in the U.S. or worldwide who might teach something about climate or energy to their students at some point.
Mm-hmm.
That gets back to the point, the bullet point above it. The science educators are probably going to be more focused on what are the of those 500 rigorously reviewed resources which fit my curriculum, and they might be engaged with the site for a very short period of time, but that may be effective for them. Whereas the people who want to get engaged with the listserv and engage repeatedly over a long period of time, it might be a different audience. I just wonder if we may be useful to think about these as separate audiences with separate messages that they may need, and maybe we focus on one or the other to start with. But I think if we overlap them or think of them the same, that's going to confound figuring out what the right message is.
I think when we started working on this campaign, a campaign idea, it occurred to me that if this is two-tiered, if the first leg of the campaign is to increase the listserv, simply to increase the listserv, you know, something I believe in really simple objectives. If we increase the listserv, maybe the tier two of a campaign is then internally market to the listserv on how to better engage with the resources.
Yeah, I guess I'm not sure that the people on the listserv are the same people who are the larger science education educator audience, or that the number of people who are going to be interested, even if it is 1,000 people. I mean, how many people are teaching?
Well, I think that there's a connection between them, Sean, in that, yes, I believe you're right, that the people that are the most engaged with the Clean Network listserv is this broad range of groups, but that their connection, what we're looking for is a continually branching connection where they connect with these communities in their areas, which are the educators who use the resources. So,
yeah, I guess that makes sense. And the sort of logic model being, we get this core of people who are deeply engaged in climate literacy, knowing and working about clean, and as then this larger audience of science educators isn't necessarily going to find clean on their own, but they may find it through people or connections to people who are part of the CLN network community, per se. That makes sense to me.
Well, what we have is the reason why we want them to join the listserv is because of the resource. We didn't really talk about the phone calls and all that, but part of that call to action is check out the Clean Library or Digest, and that may not be the call to action, but the call to action has to be very, it has to be about 5 words at the end of a campaign.
Well, I mean, here I would say that there's two separate pieces. In terms of, you can join the Clean Listserv, but as Sean pointed out, that's a smaller group of people than we ultimately want to reach. But the Facebook page is a place where we can reach, I think, that larger group. And so, while I'd like people to join the listserv and up those numbers, I think if we got a whole lot more likes on the Facebook page, that might be reaching the groups that we, more directly. I mean, people who aren't going to be reading listservs and aren't as engaged. But as a group of us that were talking on Friday, so far, the Facebook page is we've been posting our resource of the month. We've been posting about various activities, but we've not really asked for engagement. But if we were, on the other hand, a small group of us use a resource in some way and post how we use it and ask people to respond how they've used a particular resource or to post about a resource that they've used, whether it's the Teach About Climate and Energy pages or one of the reviewed resources, or they found out about some workshop through our partners that they engaged in. That's another way of increasing engagement, is through the Facebook page.
So I think overall we want to be the go-to. Would we say we want to be the go-to place for all things, all climate literacy? And
yeah.
Where that go-to place, we'll talk about cross-promotion as we move down. You know, let's go to the platforms and see how we can cross-promote the platforms. You know, we talked about Twitter, and I think right here, some other people on the team were going to say something, but we talked about how everyone can help. We just started a Twitter handle, and Tamara has really spent Memorial Day weekend trying to find a Twitter handle. And a lot of them were taken, like Clean Climate was taken. And, you know, right now she's followed on Climate Lit. But it wasn't a Twitter handle. So in the Twitter handle, we felt like we could tweet and get more followers. We could be active with postings. We could mention others. We could mention the Twitter handle, and we can start tweeting from conferences and start using the hashtag during, for instance, coming up AGU, GSA, and other conferences. So in terms of the Twitter effort, we have a Twitter effort, we have a Facebook effort. You know, I think there would be an e-marketing campaign where we're asking people to join the listserv that we could all create an email that asks people, you know, we could send out or could send out to everybody's mailing list, anybody willing to. We talked about SlideShare, and I can show you these SlideShares later. Andy Rep can use them. I use them. The thing that's really great about SlideShare is you can put a lot of information up on SlideShare, and the search engine spiders pick up on the content within the SlideShares, and you can also embed video in there. They're a really good way to post content. We talked about distributing a digest and showcasing new resources, highlighting new resources. We talked about making sure that we had a big effort to cross-link information once we get the campaign going. We talked about syndication. We talked about posting photos. And then we talked about having visiting experts at certain times come into a Google Hangout and invite people to this Google Hangout where a visiting expert would talk about something. Maybe it's
How would that be different from our weekly teleconference when we have somebody come and give a presentation?
Yeah, I don't know if it may be an audience. If you, for instance, if you had a topic on something and school teachers would be interested in joining, I don't know if the teleconference crowd is the same, the whole crowd who we would be targeting for the social media, for the weekly.
Well, there are certain limitations. So we do have this call dead in the middle of the school day. So while I've had teachers tell me they would love to participate in the call, they can't. And I totally understand that. But, you know, we also have to sort of balance this group. We can't regularly meet outside of working hours on a regular basis. So maybe there is the room for having a less frequent presentations that could be part of our ongoing collection presentations on the Clean Network that are geared for educators that are outside, you know, that occur late in the evening so that educators can come. But I'll
and they could be well advertised, and they may be somebody who's really a very renowned person, and
mm-hmm.
we could advertise in advance, and maybe it's just four times a year, but it would just increase the engagement. I mean, I've used that on some of my clients where, you know, if it's, you know, children's health or this or that, and you get a special doctor online and you find a lot of people just want to hear from this one person, and they might not be the same people that would get on a call on a regular basis, a loyalty
mm-hmm.
to the phone. So let's go to the end and then come back. So we also talked about, Emily and I talked about, you know, to create – one way to create engagement is to have awards and contests and recognition. So we talked about awarding a clean resource of the week or of the month. We talked about a contest on a post how you used clean, and you get a prize. For instance, you might get a it could be a regional prize where you know you post the ways that you use the resource in a creative way, and then somehow it's judged, and maybe not you know, a small jury, and then they won, and then they get to you know, it's good for their own recognition, and it drives people to the site, and it gets people engaged, and announce the winners, and we also talked about announcing a resource of the week or of the month. And then ask people to comment on the resources and get engaged. And then the time frame, you know, was we just want to do something short term by December 2013, and the members of it are the existing list. So that's kind of the beginning, middle, and end of how a campaign might look. So I'd like to talk a little bit about, you know, go back up now, just in case we ran out of time to. If anybody wanted to comment on other social media platforms, and then also comment on these engagement methods.
This is Ellen Klitschka. I do have one question about Twitter. I was up looking for the Climate Lit handle, and I couldn't find an account that was called Climate Lit. Maybe I'm spelling it wrong.
Oh, that's fair.
I found it. I just typed it into the search box, and it came right up.
It's just CLIMATELIT?
Yes.
Capital LIT. I don't know if that makes a difference, but the C and the L in lit are capital. Does that make a difference?
It's not case specific.
Okay.
I did have quite a hard time finding it on Facebook, though, because I typed in clean and...
Yeah, I know.
Yeah. So I typed in
laundry
climate literacy.
Detergent comes up, and it was actually a point that... that Martha made when originally I tried to make the handle clean, and, you know, it doesn't, nothing works.
Well, as soon as I typed in climate literacy in Facebook, it was the first one that came up. So
mm-hmm.
that, I think that relates back to, you know, when looking at these different things, making sure that the word climate literacy, that climate literacy is in things, because with a Twitter handle being climate lit and with the way to find it on Facebook being climate literacy, you want those to be like top of mind for people. So
if you go to the page, I put underneath that, it says excellent climate and energy literacy resources and community. So the word climate literacy is not there together. It says climate and energy literacy. Would it be better to say climate literacy and energy literacy?
Well, when I searched for it on Facebook, the way that I was successful in finding it was typing in climate literacy.
Okay.
And then it came up as the very first page, regardless of how many likes that were there. So... I just think that from my usage of Facebook, and I use it a lot for work and different things, whatever you're going to come up as the top as is what you need to really make sure is part of your campaign in terms of the language. Does that make sense?
So you're talking about the Facebook page and not the Twitter.
Well, it's actually both. So because Climate Lit and Not Clean is the Twitter page, and then Climate Literacy and Energy Awareness Network is the Facebook page, that those both involve that those words, climate literacy.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And I don't know if you're planning on doing things other than these two, like, you know, if you're planning on doing, like, a Tumblr blog or anything like that. You have mentioned Google Hangout and different things. So just from my experience, like, at the aquarium, we brand everything Monterey Bay Aquarium and then whatever it's called. So no matter who's looking can find it by typing in Monterey Bay Aquarium, and that's what comes up. So
are you suggesting that we need to fix something? I mean, I guess what I'm not understanding is whether we have to fix something at this point.
I'm not saying you need to fix anything. I'm just saying that, like, going back to the objectives that you have in here,
mm-hmm.
you know, your objective is to increase the usage of the resources, the single most important thing we want them to take away. Clean, I mean, most of these places where you have clean, if you're going into the social media realm, it might need to be Climate Literacy and Energy Awareness Network, parentheses, clean.
Right.
Because clean is not how it comes up in searches.
Right. So as I did that for Facebook, I think that is the name of the site. And then, but for the Twitter page, you can't use quite so many words. It doesn't allow it to be that long.
Right. But if you search climate literacy, it
mm-hmm.
comes up right away.
Okay.
When you're searching on Twitter as well.
Okay. Good. Well, in terms of what we're planning, you know, what I mean, part of the issue is being able to what we can afford to do. The Facebook page has been ongoing for a while, and I think that if we can put together sort of a scenario of trying to get people engaged and others, you know, inviting, asking questions such that it invites others to post to it, we can do that. And Sarah Hill, who is on the phone, is here at Turk, and she will be the one that's posting to the Facebook page. I did set up the Twitter account, and I'm not an expert at using Twitter, but I do see that there is opportunity to, at least at the GSA and AGU meetings, and actually at the NAAA meeting also, to experiment with using that and getting people engaged and trying to advertise that. And I don't know that we can go too much farther than that. E-marketing, I do send out, in fact, some of you got the emails from the Tri-Agency listserv and from the NASA listservs and from a couple of other listservs that I know there's a lot of climate change education people on. And other than those, I don't know that I have the time to, I mean, unless some of you can volunteer to also, you know, forward things on, which you're welcome to do if I send things to the Clean Network listserv, it's great to have you either tweet it on, Facebook it on, or email it on also. But at this point, I don't have too much, I don't have any additional money. Now, that doesn't mean, you know, in order to do some of these other things.
Tara, I think asking us to do that, I mean, we just have 2,500 followers on Facebook and 500 on Twitter. So if I retweet or if I repost what you're posting, if you ask
mm-hmm.
us to do that once in a while, then you are that opportunity, and that's just us. So I'm sure there's other folks that are able to do
and
that.
Is this Ellen?
No, this is Kristen. Sorry, the Will Steger Foundation.
I'm getting people. I'm not recognizing
that's okay.
everybody's name.
I should have identified myself.
So the question that I ask then is how it would be good to know how we're doing this, you know. So I'm happy to have people forward things on from the Clean Network listserv. Is there a way, I don't know, those of you who are more involved with your organizations with it, is there a way to get a sense of how that's happening, how your reach is expanding in that way?
Using how we are expanding, or?
Well, if you were to then retweet it out, how would I know, how would I be able to document that I've reached that group if you've just, if you forwarded it on, which is a great thing, but there's a documentation part that I'm not quite.
Isn't there something, and maybe Martha, you know, I feel like there's something on Facebook that actually shows when you're the one that's in charge of a page, how many people have seen your post. And it has to do with it being shared more or something.
Is that, that would be through Facebook. So it would be better if I posted it on Facebook and then you reposted it or something like that on your Facebook page. Is that correct?
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
You can get Facebook analytics. The idea would be whenever something was posted on Facebook, you tweet it back to Facebook. And you, one thing, you know, one way, how will we measure our success would be, you know, increase your followers, increase the traffic on Facebook, increase the posting on Facebook, and increase the people who signed up for the listserv. So far as our measurements, I just something that's kind of missing for me.
This is Val Sloan calling, speaking. If you know, I'm working on the marketing of clean through reaching science, state science supervisors and state science teaching associations, and asking them to include some clean information in generally emails that go out to listservs and sometimes web postings. And so I'm tracking this. And I usually ask people, well, how many does this reach? Does this go out to? And they might say, well, 700 people or something. So, for instance, I could post something on the listserv and say, if you could share this in a listserv that you're on and email me and tell me how many people are, or even just tell me the name of the listserv, and then I can look it up and find out how many are on it or find out somehow. That would be one option for at least sharing on listservs.
Okay, so that was Val?
Pardon me?
So that was Val who was just talking?
Yes. Sorry, my phone, your phone just fell out. Yes.
Yeah, okay.
Val Sloan.
So, yeah, so that's, yes, we actually need to talk more, but maybe it's through coordination with you and me and Sarah Hill that we can sort of figure out how to document this as people provide us information about how they're doing this.
Yeah, and I actually record if things are posted on Facebook and Twitter as well.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd be a good point of contact for that.
Well, I think we could get the social media campaign just started slowly, and people on the listserv could start posting ways to use clean and encourage people. You know, you could send out an email whenever you're ready tomorrow to say, well, could you go to the Facebook page and post some success you've had with the clean resource?
The other piece we wanted to do was to come up with this concise message. Do we need to do that first?
I think the concise message is something about this is the number one place to get climate and energy resource information and materials. Or it's the number one resource for climate literacy, climate and energy literacy. I think
okay.
That's the message.
Well, I think what I'll do is I'll take all the suggestions we had during our conversation today and maybe draft a few versions and send it out to the list, and then people who want to comment on it can, and we can come to something quickly.
Yeah, I don't think people were disagreeing with this being, you know, that clean being the number one resource for climate literacy and energy. I think the earlier discussions was confusing what Clean's mission is and what Clean's message, which is a little different than a media campaign's message.
Yeah. Okay. And is there a particular time frame of which, you know, I mean, we've sort of set one here is from now to December, but is that a normal amount of time for a social media campaign? Do you kind of do each of these have a sort of a period over which then you sort of do another one?
Yeah, well, this would be short term. We could just do this through September and stop and see how we're doing and then adjust it. That's what's great about social media is you can adjust your strategy.
Mm-hmm.
This is Ellen. I have a comment about the distinction between social media presence and social media campaign. Considering that the Clean, you know, part of the mission is to have more use of the resources, that's really a sustained sort of effort, so I wouldn't call that a campaign. And just as, you know, just you're just saying, you know, social media is so dynamic that you can sort of stop and adjust. I would do that more often than quarterly. You know, September's 3 months away, or, well, I guess not, you know, a little more than 2 months away, the beginning of September. But, you know, I would maybe, you know, sort of stop and look every couple of weeks at what the what the stats are showing, how many new followers and how many views and things like that. So it might not make sense to call it a campaign if what you're talking about is this sustained effort. On the other hand, if what you're talking about is, you know, trying to use a certain event like the GSA or AGU meetings as a way of getting, you know, a new big crop of followers, that might be a campaign to try to use, you know, to piggyback on those timed events and to build momentum for Clean timed around those events. That might be what I would consider a campaign.
This is Jim Bray. I very much agree with Ellen. One thing, you know, that we haven't really talked about too much is the social aspect of social media, and I think we achieved a lot of our followers. Achieved a lot of our followers by actually having campaigns at GSA and AGU and at the AMS meeting, and putting that out there for folks. I think all of the analytics and all of that stuff are real nice, and, you know, you want it to, you know, build a recognition of the Clean resources and all of that, but it ought to be yet another way beyond the listserv to reach people with interesting things that are important to their work, and it ought to be social. And I think if it's approached too mechanically, it'll lose some of that. So I think, you know, interacting with it on a couple times a week at least is really a good idea.
This is Martha, and I have to get on a board call, but I think it's a good idea to anybody that wants to be on the media, the social media campaign committee or subgroup. Tamara, maybe you could set up another meeting to go back and revisit all these really good ideas. I'm going to have to get off the phone. I'm going to follow up with you.
Okay, but I will I'll send an email to the listserv asking anybody else who wants to be part of the conversation, and then we'll find a time. Okay, so we are at the end of our hour here, so I want to thank everybody for participating today. Are there any final comments before we end?
Sounds like lots of great ideas.
Yeah. All right, well, we'll move forward on those that we can. Okay, well, thanks for calling in, everybody. We'll talk again next week.
Thank you, Tamara.
Thank you.
Bye.
Thank you.